All right. We do have so much to be thankful for. You know, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And somehow, sometimes through our experience, maybe even this past experience, we're trying to understand even those verses. So yesterday, Terry and I officiated in one of three graduation services from First Baptist Sutherland Springs. And so ours was with Tara McNulty. And Terry and I didn't know Tara. And so we were trying to get to know her a little bit better through her mom, Lisa. Tara was 33 years old. And she had two children, James and Haley. Haley was 15, she's 15, I believe, and James is 13. I understand that they just got out of the hospital Tuesday, so they were here at the service. They're doing fine physically, but you know, obviously they're working through losing their mom and all that. So there were a lot of people here yesterday. Brother Frank was able to come and share a few minutes with us before they had to take him off to the next one, and he had already had one prior to Tara, so he had a very busy day. And so my task was to speak to everyone there that came to think about Tara and remember her life. And so I began to ponder and think about what I was going to say. And one of the things, the way I introduced my thoughts was I said to everyone there, and pretty much these two bottom rows were full with people, and most everyone I didn't know. There were a few people from our church and maybe a couple others outside our church that I knew, but for the most part, I didn't know anybody. So the way I introduced what I was going to say was, I said, one of the things that you would like to do, be able to do when you're a minister in this kind of situation is you'd like to give some words and some thoughts that would make everyone feel better. And I said, you know, I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think I'm going to be able to say anything that's going to make people here feel better about Tara, a daughter, a mother, and a niece, a friend, a sister, leaving this world at 33 years of age in the way that she did. And so I said, so how does the comfort of God work? What does that mean? Since there's no word that I can give everyone that's going to make us feel better in this, because we're suffering, we have this pain and hurt, we have this loss, and of course we're not, even though we're suffering and we know how bad that is, we're not suffering near like those who actually lost someone, who lost a mom or a daughter. And so I said, well, how does that relate with the comfort of God? And I said, so sometimes the experiences that we encounter in our Christian lives help us to understand more of the concepts of God than in prior years. We've been studying a lot of different things, some of us for decades, when we think about how God works, how God operates. But sometimes when we go through like even experience like this, those of us who are left on this side of heaven, we begin to dive in a little bit more and then understand how God intervenes in people's lives. And one of the ways that he does that is through his comfort, which is what I called on people to bring us in this tragedy, that God would bring us this comfort that only he can give. Human beings can't really do this. We can bring certain kinds of comfort, but he brings a supernatural comfort. And what does that mean? What does that look like? And I said, I think, at least in part, the comfort of God deals with our minds. It deals with our thinking. Remember, we don't directly control our emotions. We directly control our will. And we exercise our will based on what we think. That's why the Bible can say, as a man thinketh, so is he. He will act out through his will what he is thinking. That's why it's so important and why Paul addressed thinking in Romans chapter 12 in verse 2 when he spoke about having a renewed mind. When we have a renewed mind, when we have a mind that's changed one's thinking, thinking that's in alignment with God, then our character can change, our performance, our life, our action, our attitudes, and even our feelings. See, because God's in the healing business. There are so many of these people, Tara's family, Tara's kids, Tara's mom. There's healing that God wants to perform in their lives. And I would say to you that it begins not on the emotion, but in the thinking. Now, I didn't tell them all this, you understand. I just spoke a few words about how God, through his comfort, wants to change their thinking. Allison told me, keep it simple.
Amen.
Yeah, she said, I was talking to her about what I was going to say. She said, don't say that. I said, what? And then I'd say, I was going to, don't say that. I mean, she cut out half of what I was going to say, two-thirds of what I was going to say. And then I said, and I was going to say this. She said, oh, that's really good. How do you know that? And I said, well, because of this. She said, well, don't say that. So, thanks, Allison. She did. She helped me because we really, you know, we cut the service down to 45 minutes, and that's exactly what the family wanted. And I was able to really just be specific. So, this comfort that God offers, if I may, this comfort that God offers is a comfort that resides, that will invade, that will intervene in your mind, and then, of course, work itself through your soul and who you are. And so what is it that God wants to do in our mind? What kind of thinking does he want to give us that brings us ultimately this comfort, this healing in our emotions? I think at least, again, at a minimum, it's surety. It's assurance or confidence of things to come. Now, in Tara's life, I told everyone these things that we're going to discuss today that God revealed to us that we can be sure of, she's experiencing right now. So in her life, I spoke about her past, who Tara was when she was with us on the earth. I spoke about her life in the present. And then I also spoke about her life in the future. And all of those things that we spoke about in the present and in the future, God has given us surety about. He has given us confidence in these, in this experience that not only Tara is experiencing in the present, along with all of our loved ones who knew the Lord, who went on before us, but for each of us as well. This kind of comfort helps us. So Randy Alcorn, I gave you a little book last Sunday. He sent me another book, and I only had a few of these. We've got some more of the other ones from last Sunday. They're out there on the little table, Where is God When We Hurt? So pick up one of those little books on your way out. When you read it, then give it to somebody else. Don't just let it sit on the coffee table and collect dust. Just pass it around. Keep them going. It really helps people during this time. But this little book is a little summary book that he did on the book, the big book, Heaven. And so I wanted to speak to the people yesterday, the family and the friends, particularly Lisa, James, and Haley, about their mother's present experience. and then also what she was going to experience, or what she's yet to experience in the future. And so I used a little bit of Randy's stuff here from the book called Heaven. And so I wanted to address that topic because God has given us some assurance about things. In fact, over here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23, I introduced this concept with the words of the Apostle Paul. For I am hard pressed between the two. What two? Having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So Paul struggled in his life because he, like all of us, wanted to be in heaven with the Lord. And he knew that was, you know, awesome. But he also knew that God still needed him on the earth to help the church, help all the saints. So he struggled between those two. But what I shared with Tara's family was that where the present experience that Tara has right now, notice the phrase at the end of verse 23. The place that she is in right now is what? Far better than the place that you and I are in right now, than our present experience. I also shared with them that the place that she is in right now is not near as good as it's going to be even in the future for her. She has not experienced in the present everything that God has in store for her. In fact, that'll take all of an eternity to do that. So Tara knew the Lord, and so the moment that she died, she saw God's face. She was with the Lord. So to give you a little bit better graphic picture of that, you go over to Revelation chapter 1. This is in John's revelation. He got to see the Lord in his vision. He said in verse 12, "And then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me." Verse 13, "And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool and as white as snow. His eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." Wow. The moment Tara left this planet, she traveled all the way to heaven, and she saw the Lord. And I'm sure the Lord gave her a big bear hug, said, "Welcome home, Tara." And in so going to the Lord, we know the Bible says, we heard this quoted many times, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So she left that shell behind, and she went to heaven. She was with the Lord. And the Lord did certain things for her to prepare her for heaven so that she could go. So one of the things that the Lord did for her was he gave her the right clothing. Now, have y'all ever gone to an event where it was a planned event and you showed up and you realized you were underdressed? Or you realized you were overdressed. And so you felt like the emperor in the room, right? And you feel like that everybody is looking at you because you're the only one that stands out. You don't look like everybody else. Anybody ever done that before? And it's really strange. And you feel like, well, you start talking, you know, to your wife, you're stuck talking to your husband, "Why didn't you tell me? You know, it was on the invitation. Well, I forgot," or whatever. And you think about, you know, doing the crawfish thing and backing up and maybe we better leave or whatever. And so you have all those kinds of thoughts. Well, the Lord wanted to make sure that Tara was going to have the right clothing to get into heaven. So the Bible speaks about her clothing in Isaiah chapter 61. And by the way, this is just part of her clothing, but it is the most important. So in Isaiah 61, Isaiah says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Tara, when she got into heaven, the Lord gave her this robe. This robe that's decked with jewels. And of course, this is all the righteousness of Christ. This is not speaking about her righteousness. What did Jeremiah say about all of our righteousness? It's as filthy rags, right? Was Isaiah 61 quite different than filthy rags? This is what the Lord does, not only for Tara, but he does for every single person. You got to have these clothes on. You got to have the right clothes on to get into heaven. Tara had them, and she's wearing this robe right now. So God prepared her clothing. Now, something else he prepared. He prepared a place for her to live in, right? Every woman's got to have a house. Got to have a place for her furniture and all her stuff, and got to have a kitchen. What do you have a kitchen for? What, Ronald? Resale? Retail value, okay. All right. And how about cooking? So the Bible says in John 14, right, that Jesus went to go prepare a place for us. He said, in my Father's house, in other words, there's this big estate. In my Father's house are many rooms. So many houses, many rooms. So in my Father's estate, which is vast, which is huge, the Lord had prepared a house, a place in his estate for Tara. For Tara. And so I'm sure she's already rearranged all her furniture in there, and she's been working through that. But she's got a place that the Lord provided for her. She's got the clothes to wear the proper attire in heaven. Something else that Tara has been doing a lot of. God gave us the church. Why? Lots of reasons. The different things that we do in the church, and we could name a number of them if we had time, but there are different things that we do. One of the things that we do is we have fellowship with each other. Right? Now, what is the church supposed to do? The church is supposed to do or to be a place, a body of Christ, the bride of Christ. We're supposed to act out on earth in a crude way, but give a visual aid on earth what it's going to be like in heaven. One of the things that we do on earth is we have fellowship with each other. Right? And what do we do when we fellowship? We eat. And there's going to be eating in heaven, lots of eating. Now, the food that we're going to taste there is going to taste so much better, because 1 Corinthians 15 says we're going to move from glory to glory. Okay? So I guarantee you, Tara's already had a boatload of people in her house and fed them and eaten with them. She is walking around all of heaven, and she is fellowshipping, not only with the relatives that she has that's gone before her or her friends, but also with the saints, all the saints of Scripture. In fact, all the saints from the very beginning, she's able to have this opportunity to fellowship. And fellowship is just, it's one of those beautiful things that God has given us, because it's relational. That fellowship that we have with each other also is a visual aid of the fellowship that God has provided between ourselves, between us and God. She not only has this fellowship, get this, between her and all the other saints, she's got it with the Lord. She can eat with the Lord. She can sit down with the Lord. Why? Not because Tara's done anything righteous to deserve to go to heaven, but because through Christ, by grace, through faith, the Lord, Isaiah says, has given her his righteousness. And so he gives to all those who come to know the Lord. Tara is going to look like Tara when we see her. And she was 33 years old when she passed. That's right about the age that I think the Lord is going to have us be and look like. Amen? Amen. I visited with Frances. She was just like a mother to me. She's in the nursing home. She's almost 90, and she saw me on the television, you know, one time, and she said, you know what she said? She said, Brother Mike, you've really aged. Thanks, Frances. Love you too, honey. We all age, right? On this earth, that's so we just, you know, if you get to live long enough, it's going to happen, man. It's going to happen. But in heaven, we're not going to age. Although, Randy did mention in his big, I think it was in his big book, and we'll talk about heaven some more, okay? I'm just highlighting a few things. There's so much more to talk about. But he did say, he talked about kids that die and go to heaven. And I'd never thought about this much. And he said, and this kind of brings me to another point that I brought in the message yesterday. He said, you know, and he brought out some things that could give some foundation to this. He says, it could be that when kids go to heaven as kids, that God waits till their parents get to heaven so their parents can watch their kids grow up. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? I said, though, to Haley and James, I believe this is the comfort of God. He's changing our thinking. I said, you've lost a lot of things. Time, experience, hugs, kisses, birthdays, whatever, with your mother on this side of heaven. You remember the disciples? They said to Jesus, well, we've left our homes, we left our families, we left, what's going to happen to us? And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, he who's left his family, left, you know, this and that, for me, Jesus said, in the next life, I will give to him 100-fold. And I said, the time that you lost with your mom, I'm telling you, I'm giving you assurance, I'm giving you confidence. God is not only going to give it back to you, he's going to give it back to you 1,000-fold. This is something you can be sure of. This is something you can be confident in. Because God gives back to us. He gives back to his own. Those who gave up, who lost their life for the sake of Jesus Christ. So Tara is there in this place. This place in Revelation chapter 20 and 21 and 22 is, boy, it's so illustrated. This place, one of the things that's spoken about in this place is it is, get over here, chapter 21, verse 2, then I, John, saw the holy city. It's a city. This is the place where God's throne is. This is where all the saints are. Lots of description, golden streets. We'll look at all that. Beautiful place, awesome place. There's only love there. There's only God's love there in this place. And as we begin to close today, we always think about when we expire that we go up and we meet the Lord in heaven and we go live with Him in this city. It's called New Jerusalem. We live in this city with God where God is. We think about that. Well, there's still a few things in the future to happen. And we think about that this place is not our home. We're just passing through. And that's true in part because God has an eternal purpose for the earth. So Tara, she has her first set of clothes, but she's going to get a second set of clothes. This hasn't happened yet. It's going to get even better for her. If I have my eschatology right, the Lord's going to come back in the clouds. We call that the rapture. It's to be caught up. The church, those of us who are alive, are going to be caught up. We're going to meet Christ. All the saints from heaven who have already gone before us are going to come down from heaven, and we're all going to meet together, and guess what we're going to have? Fellowship. And we're all going to say, it's time to eat. We're going to go back to heaven. But before we do that, and we are going to eat, by the way, during the whole time of tribulation on the earth, what goes on in heaven is just the opposite of what goes on the earth. It's a blissful time in heaven. So at the time of the rapture will be the judgment seat of Christ. There are actually two judgments for everyone, even the Christian. The first judgment is at death, and that's the judgment of faith. Those who have come to a time and a place where they've asked Jesus Christ to come into their life, those people go directly to heaven immediately upon death. Those who have not go to hell, and they're separated from God forever and ever. Then there's a second judgment, not only for lost people, that's later on, but for the believer, and that's called the judgment seat of Christ. This is the opportunity for God to reward His saints for their righteous acts. There's a text in Revelation chapter 19. Put that up on the screen for us here. Revelation chapter 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. This is right at the time of the rapture, if my end time thinking is correct. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is not the righteous acts of Christ, but of the saints. Now, the only reason that a believer can act righteously is because Christ has made him righteous. And that righteous act could be something like giving someone a cup of cold water who's thirsty. It could be like you see someone on the side of the road and their tire's blown out and they need help. Or you want to give to a missionary, or you are praying in your closet for someone who's sick and hurting, or someone who's lost and needs to come to know the Lord. Or you bring a casserole over to someone who's been in the hospital. Where you go to see somebody in the hot, all those kinds of little things. God sees all those things. He records all those things. And He wants to reward His saints for that. And so, out of that judgment is going to come a couple things. One of them, I think, is what Revelation chapter 19 is talking about, another set of clothes. Now, when we put clothes on, you can't see my undergarments, can't see your undergarments, but I think there we'll be able to see both, okay? The one that she has Christ, the reason that she's there, Tara, but also she's going to have this other clothing, this other robe that she's going to have, and she's going to have these rewards. She also will have these crowns, all these kinds of things. Now, I'm going to close here in just a minute, but all those things, or for what? Well, God wants to do this, okay, for us. But when His glory, see, His glory permeates heaven, the city. And so all the glory of God comes and it hits you. And what's it going to hit? It's not going to just hit linen. When you were over there holding the hand of somebody that was hurting and praying with them because everybody else was too busy, the glory of God's going to come and it's going to hit that jewel and it's going to reflect and it's going to go back and it's going to glorify God. See, that's what it's all about. That's our purpose. That's what we were singing about this morning. That's yet to be for Tara. That she hasn't experienced that yet. But she will. And so she'll have the proper attire during the tribulation go to the marriage feast of the Lamb. See, that's going to happen all during that time. Well, then and we're going to close here. I said that several times. Allison's coughing now. So we'll have the tribulation. Then we have the second coming. Then we have the millennial reign of Christ. We're going to kind of dive into all these things later on, okay? So we'll get a little bit of understanding. Then we're going to have the last rebellion. Lord's going to put all that down. Then, Tara hadn't experienced any of this. Okay, then God's going to create a new heavens and a new what? A new earth. And guess what? This is where Revelation chapter 22 comes into play. And so, the new Jerusalem, where all heaven is now, will come down to the new earth. And so, the people of God will not be going up so they can go live with God. God will come down to earth so He can live with His people. We remember that He did that once before, 2,000 years ago. Jesus became a man, God the Son. And there spread out His hands and let the Roman soldiers nail Him to a cross in His feet so that one day whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know? Do you have assurance? Do you have confidence that when you die, you'll be with God forever and ever? Let's pray. Maybe today there's someone here who doesn't have that confidence, but you would like to have. You hear the invitation. They've been sent out. We've read the invitation this morning. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus says. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. He who has the Son has, present tense, eternal life. Right now, would you like to pray with me and ask the Lord to come in your life so you can know that you have the Lord and your sins are forgiven? Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You are God and that You died on the cross for me. You were buried and You rose again. I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I invite You to come into my heart right now, to come into my life, to save me, to be my Lord, and to take me to heaven when I die. And if you prayed that prayer just then, Jesus Christ just came into your life. And He will never, ever leave you. And now He wants to change your life. He wants to change your thinking so that you can be all that He created for you to be in the very beginning. Welcome to the family of God. And as we're praying about our own lives, and God's will. Maybe there's somebody here today who needs to make a decision, maybe needs prayer. I'll be standing right here at the front, and you can come now. Just stand up and come, and we'll receive you.